Now we're learning the Haftarah of Parsha Sachar. I think we've gotten as far as Vayorev Banochal, Vayomer Shol Elakeini. The last thing we discussed, Vayorev Banochal, was the fact that they struggled with the idea of killing so many and also of destroying the animals. The Gemara says they said, if the Amalekim sinned, did the Ketanim sin, and did the animals sin? And they struggled with it. They were going to do it. There was no question. It's a mitzvah. But they struggled with understanding it. Now Shaul sets out to do battle with Amalek. So the first thing he does, Vayomer Shaul el HaKeni, Shaul says to the Keni, who are the Keni? Keni, Chazal say, are the descendants of Yisrael, who apparently lived in the area of the Amalekim. I don't want to kill you together with them. You were so kind to the Jewish people, and they left Mitzrayim. And they separated themselves from Amalek. We find here one of three times I could think of in Nach, in the Nevi'im Rishayim, that the descendants of Yisrael were somehow very separate from the rest of Klal Yisrael.
Even though they were
Megayer. They were Megayer. They were full-fledged Jews, eligible to marry anybody but a Kayin. And yet, we find by Shiras Devaira, we find here, so Chazal say they did. They got the Doishna Shal Chevrain. They got the area around Chevrain went to them until Yerushalayim would be chosen. But Klal Yisrael knew, they didn't know the location of Yerushalayim. And they knew the city called Yerushalayim. They didn't know which city would be the city that was sort of the universal city. So it was given to a Shevet. They separated an area that when Yerushalayim is chosen, those residents, their families that got land in Yerushalayim, they would be relocated to this land in the area around Chevron. Chevron itself went to Kalev. And the Gemara says, Deishtel Shal Chevron, the area around Chevron was designated for the relocation of families that had gotten Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim would be declared the property of all the Shvatim together, Yerushalayim lay in the Schakel of Shvatim, then they would get that area. For the 400...
Was that area considered non-fertile?
Lavdavka, it wasn't inferior, no. No, it was not.
That's what he got, because a little bit of the punishment,
it's,
that he got that
land. The Rashi does say that Chevron was used as a burial place because the land was inferior. Right. It was still better than the fertile lands of Egypt, the Gemara says.
Maris Machpelah had no role in it?
Maris Machpelah was Maris Machpelah. It was one piece of land, and it was also divided among the Shvatim. And that area was, the Maris Machpelah, you should know, was not in Chevron. It's clear from the Pesukim in Parshas Chayesara that it was outside of the city. Today, the city is around the Maris Machpelah. That's a geographical change that took place with time. Be that as it may, the Keni were given land partially around Chevron and obviously in other places as well. They purchased land. The mystery is why they stayed separate. We find, as I said, by Devaira here, and again later in Perek Lamed of Shmuel, interestingly, when David does battle with Amalek, a similar idea that the B'nai Yisrael are in the way. Rav Schwab has an interesting explanation. He doesn't quite ask the question, but he explains the separation of the descendants of Yisrael from the others as follows. And we know every Shevet had its own path in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most notable are Yisachar and Zvulun, as is well known. But every Shevet had its own derech, its own path in serving Hashem, so much so that the Magen Avraham suggests the different nuschois of davening that we have originate from different nuschois and different shvatim. Yisrael, the descendants of Yisrael, also had their own derech in serving Hashem. Their derech was the derech of recognizing Hashem through Chakira. We raise our children with emunah pshuta. Emunah pshuta means children are raised to believe in the faith of our forefathers that stood at Sinai. And that's the way children have to be raised. When they get older, if they have the intellectual ability, they reach the level of emunah through chakira. And if not, they go through their lives with emunah pshuta. Yisrael, who came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Chakira, through a higher level of understanding, Dafka raised his children in that derech of serving Hashem. That's why we find in Rashi that Moshe Rabbeinu promised Yisrael that he would allow his oldest child to serve Avodah Zarah, which seems quite like a quite mysterious promise. And you have to be matter. There's such a promise, Vayoel. He had to go and be matter the neder when he left. So the Vayoel Shevis Seishim, he had to make a neder. So the answer, the way Schwab explains, is that he agreed to raise his eldest son in the derech of Shevit Yisrael, which is the derech of Emunah through Chakira. So the Yisrael had its own, the descendants of Yisrael had their own derech in serving Hashem. Now, it's not a very popular derech. I don't think any of us want to raise our children by exposing them to Avodah Zarah, and then hoping that they'll have the intellectual wherewithal to make choices at a stage in life where they're still not consumed with the Yetzer Hara. It's a very risky path. Rav Tzadik may like it. I don't know about for children, though. Rav Tzadik would like it, but I don't know about for children. But anyway, that is an explanation of why, you know, the Bnei Yisrael opened yeshivas, the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't send their children there. And they probably didn't send them to play with them either, given that they had books in the house that were exposed them
did
to the other faiths.
All of them were exposed?
In general, it's a general statement, you're right. It's just a general statement. And Rav Schwab explains this, and we use Rav Schwab's explanation to understand the consistent segregation of the descendants of Yisrael from the rest of Klal Yisrael.
I thought it's just partial, like we find in here, you know, they keep the
440 years later?
They keep the
440 years later?
No. The
not 400 years later. You're talking about many centuries. Vayach shol es amolek, mechavila bayach ashur, ashur pnei mitzrayim. Very short shrift is given to Shaul's success. Shaul went to battle, and he succeeded in battle. And the whole of Torah is about his failures, but we have to give him credit. He went to battle and destroyed Amalek almost to the last man, or till the last man. Vayispais es agag melech amolek choy, Agag, the king of Amalek, the name Agag is a general name, like Pare is a general name for kings, the king of Amalek, Veskolaom Hecherim Lefichorev. And the rest he destroyed, by the sword. Vayachmel Shol Vaom al Agog, Valbeta Vatzaim Vahabokar, Vamishnim, Valakorim, Vakolatoiv, Vayovu Achrimam. Klal Yisrael had a desire to make good use of the cattle that remained, and they wanted to bring it as a carbon. As I explained the other day from Dining Yom Tif, there was a technicality that once they killed every one of the Amalekim, they had to destroy the animals, and therefore they left Agog alive to bring these carbonous animals as carbonous. Chol Amalach Nimviza V'nomas oisecherimu. And everything else they had, which they considered disgusting and worthy of destruction, they did destroy. So this is Klal Yisrael. Now, Shmuel, who's not in the battle, Shmuel was a Nazir, he didn't go to battle. V'yidvar Hashem al Shmuel Eimer. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel, Nichamti ki himlachti es Shaul Melech, I literally regret having made Shaul the king, he shoved me acharai, because he turned away from me, vestavarai lohikim. Now these are two things. Shoved me acharai, vestavarai lohikim. He turned away from me and he didn't keep my word. These are his two mistakes. One mistake is allowing Agag to live. Vestavarai lohikim refers to something that took place earlier. Shmuel had told Shaul not to go to battle, to previous battle, until 7 days pass and Shmuel returns. The people got very itchy, and they didn't want to wait. And they started to abandon Shaul. Shaul had called them together to form an army to defend Klal Yisrael. And here, they're all ready to go to battle, and Shaul's waiting. And the people started to abandon him. And Shaul panicked, and he went to war before Shmuel returned. And that was his second error.
But even his second error was only that he blamed it on Yisrael.
Oh, let me mention that in a second. V'yichal Shmuel, v'yizak al Hashem kol ha'layla. Shmuel was upset. He cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all night. Chazal say, he said, Shaul is my seyodai. He's the king I anointed. Loyavatlu masi yode bechaya. He didn't want to see this happen. Now it's interesting. The Gemara says shol ba'achas va'ol saloi. There's a Gemara in Yuma at the end of the second parak. I think Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. It says David bishnayim. David made two mistakes: the incident with Uriah and Bathsheba, and the incident of the counting of Klal Yisrael. V'loy ol saloi, and it didn't destroy his malucha. Shol ba'achas va'ol saloi. Shol had one mistake, va'ol saloi, and it destroyed his malchus. Now the question is, Shaul also had two. He had these two incidents that I mentioned here, I mentioned elsewhere, as a pair of mistakes that Shaul made, the incident with Amalek, and the not waiting for Shmuel. The Navi said, wait. Now the second question is, it's not fair. David made two mistakes, and his Malchus continues forever. And Shaul makes one mistake, and his Malchus comes to an end.
What were the two sins that...
David?
David,
Uri and Bathsheba, right. The Gemara counts as one, and the counting of Klal Yisrael towards the end of his Malchus, there was a Mekefa when he, if I am a David HaGod, Tzarli Miyayin, it says by their second
mistake. Shaul's mistake with the Klal, was the Rabin.
Okay, so the Gra, what you're saying, is the Vilna Gaon. The Gra says what you're saying, that the difference is that Shaul sinned in his Tafkid, and David had personal mistakes. In other words, their goal, their job, their tafkid was to be a melech al Yisrael. David's averis had nothing to do with being melech. They were, nothing to do with leading the people. They had to do with mistakes that he made. The mistakes may have affected Klal Yisrael, but they didn't, they weren't b'tafkida. As melech, he fulfilled his job. Shaul made a mistake. Well, he made one mistake. The mistake was listening to the people. Both mistakes were the same. It was the pressure from the people. In the case of not waiting the 7 days, it's clear from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says the people were abandoning him, and he panicked. And they said, why are you waiting? And he panicked. Here also, we find in a few psukim to come, when Shaul defends himself, he says, "Chomal ha'om al meitav hatzayim v'habokar." Basically, that the people insisted that it was wrong to destroy such fine animals. Now, they didn't take it for themselves. They used it as karbanos, but nevertheless, it was the people's mistake. And it was Shaul's mistake was following them. A leader is supposed to lead, not supposed to follow the polls. He's not supposed to, not supposed to follow, he's supposed to lead. And, I think, forget who says on Pnei Hadar Kepnei Hakelev. It says the Ikvus of the Meshicha. Remember who says this part? That Pnei Hadar is Kepnei Hakelev. A Kelev runs ahead of its master. Right? It looks back to make sure he's following, but the dog runs ahead of its master. The other animals follow the master. That the leaders of the generation of Ikvus and the Meshicha are going to study the poll numbers, and they'll know what position to take to be elected president. They'll know to run the government. They run it based on polls rather than based on leading. Leading means leading the people in a way that's right, whether the people want it or not.
What's interesting to me is that Aaron did the same thing with the Egel when he made the Egel, when the people were telling him.
What it was for Cheshbon. Gemara says, because he didn't want a Navi and a Kohen to be killed by the people the same day, which would be a terrible sin for Klal Yisrael. So he was really willing to give up his Ruchnius for that, and he wasn't faulted. We don't find that Aaron was punished for it. Because Aaron did it with the Gemara says, Godol aver lishma, mitzvah shaloi lishma. Aaron understood that for the sake of Klal Yisrael, it couldn't happen that the people would kill him. And he was afraid they would.
Aaron didn't change, fundamentally didn't change his mind. Shaul fundamentally changed
And what's interesting is that when Shmuel comes, he greets him. He says, "Hakim Oisius Devar Hashem." His greeting is, "I did what God wants." He didn't even see that that anything he had done was wrong.
There, Gezeirah of Kli on Aaron also, though, and Moshe Rabbeinu daven for him.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. That the Gezeirah of Kli was close to the Egel. I don't remember it that way, but okay, maybe that way.
Whatever he did, at the end of the day, could be even responsible that it shouldn't be for his spiritual thing, but what he did was surely for to do good for Klal Yisrael.
So now Shmuel and Shaul come together. V'yashkim Shmuel l'kra Shaul ba'baiker. V'yugad l'shmuel l'aymar. And Shmuel is told saying, Ba Shaul. Shaul is coming towards you, Akarmela. V'hinei meitziv lo yad, matziv lo yad, v'yisayv v'yavar v'yerud ha-gilgal. And he said, matziv lo yad, he's setting up a memorial to this battle. V'yisayv v'yavar v'yerud ha-gilgal. Shmuel went around to approach Shaul. V'yavar Shmuel al Shaul v'yemel Shaul. Baruch atol ha-Hashem, ha-kimoisi yistavar Hashem. So Shaul says, I did what God wants. It's an incredible thing. We're talking about Shaul, the Mashiach Hashem, but the Pshat that we understand, it's incredible that a person can really fool himself and make mistakes and still feel like he might see Divine Hashem. Perhaps. I saw a beautiful thought in Rabbi Yalev Shtamin, the Elis HaShachar, and this new one which I put out. It's not printed in Parashas Kairach, so I don't recall which parasha it is. But he says a beautiful thought about Kairach. He asks, how Kairach, if the seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guide, Yad Hashem, in choosing Moshe Rabbeinu, how he could think that Moshe and Aaron, that somehow, with all the miracles that took place, that the Rabbeinu Shloilom wanted Kairach to be the Kayin. If everything that happened, the setting up of the Mishkan and everything that took place, there were open miracles that took place that showed that the Rabbi Shalom was happy with the choice of Aaron. And he answers the following. He says, Kairach told himself, the Rabbi Shalom wants each person to stand up for his own family. Moshe and Aaron was Zaycha because they stood up for their family. They stood up for their family. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was Nicha when that happens. I'm also supposed to stand up for my family. I stand for my family that they should be Kayanim. Then I'll get it. As Imamish twisted open miracles in the choosing of Aaron, and he twisted it into a interpretation that fit what he wanted. The ability to fool oneself. Now I'm comparing Shaul to Kairach, God forbid. Shaul's the Mashiach Hashem, but nevertheless. The pasuk goes on. So Shaul says, "He kemaisi is devar Hashem v'yem Shmuel." David says Chatasi right away, and then David says, that's right. I hear some sheep. What's the problem with this pasuk? Why is he criticizing him for Agag? He's talking about the sheep and the cattle, which is worse.
Now you could say he heard them. Okay.
Come on.
He really was going around the
book. Zach Dainig Yamtif. Says in line with the pshat that we spoke out, that really, he'll kill Agag tomorrow. There's no deadline. The reason he let Agag live was to have this loophole, to let the sheep and the cattle be karbanis. So he criticized him for his, what motivated him to let Agag live was this, the tzayin of bakar that he wanted to somehow retain. And keep. It's interesting, he was commanded to kill them. Why is offering them as an oila not a satisfactory kiyum of killing them? Huh? Offering them as an oila is not a satisfactory kiyum of killing all the tzayin.
It's a kedusha that comes out of tumah. They're the source of it, you know, they belong to Amalek, which was such an evil thing.
Okay, perhaps. What's the question? What the Avera is? What?
Possibly they were nearby, but there was a psul in the
animal. Psul, the Gemara says you don't purchase animals from Goyim because they're, well, the Gemara says that if they keep them for themselves, it's not that way because they get weaker by it.
That makes no difference. If he's going to give them as an oil, then he's destroying them, which is the Rav's kasha.
Maybe as Herbie said, that they're not such suitable,
No, but it's more designed that he was supposed to kill him when you encountered them. I mean, same thing Agag. He thinks he has Agag under lock and key. In other words, why are we criticizing? Because when you do it, you're supposed to do it, not...
There was probably a time factor also. You were supposed to kill them at that time, not leave them later.
I mean, they're supposed to do it as soon as it comes. Like, Mitzvah Shabbat Yotcha Tach Mitzvah. At any rate...
But the end of the day was... He was trying to defend his position, and he was doing it.
Certainly it was a mistake not defending himself. David Sechotasi, as soon as it was pointed out, and he didn't. Okay, I guess I'll have to leave you in suspense with the rest of the Haftarah till next year, Parshas Zachor.